first hour of the program, we'll be talking about Habitat for Humanity. This is an organization that this fall will be celebrating its 25th anniversary. During the time that Habitat has been in existence, since 1976, it has built more than 100,000 houses in more than 60 countries, including something like 30,000 houses across the United States. We have two guests with us this morning on the program. Joining us by telephone, Millard Fuller. He is the founder and president of Habitat for Humanity International. And here in the studio with us, Jeff Ford. He's executive director of the Habitat affiliate for Champaign and Piatt counties. And we'll talk a little bit about how it is that Habitat came to be, the concept, and then some practical questions about just how it is they go about doing what they do. And, of course, questions are welcome. As I mentioned, our telephone guest, Millard Fuller, started Habitat with some other folks, including his wife, back in 1976. He has received a great deal of public recognition for this, and I just want to mention a few. In 1987, the Martin Luther King Jr. Humanitarian Award. In 1988, the Distinguished Christian Service in Social Welfare Award. In 1995, he was named Builder of the Year by Professional Builder magazine. In 1996, received the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Clinton. In 1999, he was named by Builder magazine as one of the 100 most influential people in home building in the U.S., in the 20th century. He's also done some writing about Habitat, and if you're interested in what Habitat for Humanity is all about, one thing that you might do is look for a book that he authored. It's titled More Than Houses, and it was published just last year, published by Word Publishing in Nashville. It's a paperback and should be available if you want to take a look at it. And questions, of course, are welcome. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Also, we have a toll-free line. Go to anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. Mr. Fuller, hello.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for talking with us today.
Oh, it's wonderful to be on the program with you.
And here in studio with us, Jeff Ford. Thanks very much.
Thank you, David.
For being here. I'd like to start here and have Mr. Fuller have you talk a little bit about how you got started. I know, just having read a little bit about you, that the circumstances of your life at the time, and I guess that some people looking at the life that you were leading would have said that you were a great success. Certainly, you had achieved financial success, but you apparently felt that your life wasn't what you wanted it to be or it should be.
Yes, my wife Linda and I were living in the capital city of Alabama, the city of Montgomery, and I suppose by just about anybody's definition, we were living the American dream or living a good life. I had graduated from the University of Alabama Law School and had gone into business with my law partner, and we had we'd achieved a lot of success in our law and practice and in our business ventures, more so in the business ventures in terms of generating income, and that got for us what money will buy for you. Lincoln Continental to drive and 2,000 acres of land and horses and cattle and speedboats and servants and you know, and everything to give you a plush life, but there was a price that was paid for that, and the biggest price was estrangement from my own wife and from our two children. We had two children at that time, and we just drifted apart because I worked all the time. I would often come home and eat supper, and then go back to the office, and some nights wouldn't even come home. I'd sleep on the sofa, and the inevitable happened. My wife and I drifted apart, which resulted eventually in her leaving me and going to New York. She had everything that money could buy, but no husband, no warm human relationship to make life worth living. She went to New York and was counseling with a minister. I eventually pursued her to New York, and out of that chaotic personal situation came a decision to fundamentally change how we were living our lives. And we made a decision to divest ourselves of our wealth and to literally go on a journey, a quest, a pilgrimage to find out what God might have for us to use our lives for. And that search led us to a small Christian community near Americus, Georgia, a place called Koinonia Farm. And it was there with Clarence Jordan, who with his wife Florence had founded that small Christian community, that we launched a program initially that was called Partnership Housing. And that is the program that evolved into what we know today as Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah. I imagine there would have been a number of things that you could have done, and that is, and followed the same path, different sorts of service activities. How is it that you chose specifically this one kind of approach? The idea that what you wanted to do was build homes for people who otherwise would not have been able to afford to have them.
Yeah, well, that's a very valid question. When we began our quest, our search, we didn't set out to build houses. We just set out to try to find God's path for us, what it was that we could use our talents for that would be pleasing to God and that would be beneficial in this world. And we ended up, as I said, at this small Christian community, and they had gone through a bath of fire because they were an integrated Christian community here in the Deep South in the 40s and 50s, and they'd been bombed and beat and dynamited and thrown in jail and harassed in every way imaginable because they were living black and white together in this community. And it had gotten to the point that they'd pretty much thought that the community was going to be ended. It was going to, go out of existence. So the word had gotten out in the community that they were going to all leave, and some of the local minority folks, the descendants of the slaves in this rural part of South Georgia, who had never been able to have a piece of land, who'd never been able to have a good place to live, they started coming over and saying, "Before you leave, would you please at least give us a little piece of land? Maybe one day we could hope to have a house on it." And when we arrived, my wife Lynn and I arrived there, they had actually laid off some lots for these families, but they didn't have any money for building any houses. And so it was seeing that great human need just staring us right in the face that prompted us to take action and to begin to build houses for those families. And from building one house for one needy family has evolved into Habitat for Humanity, which, as you said in your introduction, we've now built more than 100,000 houses, and we'll build another 20,000 this year. We're building a house currently about one every 26 minutes.
Yeah, in the first 25 years you've done this, about 100,000. Your goal is in the next 5 years, or maybe just in the next 4 years, to do the same number, 100,000.
Yeah, by the end of 2005, we expect to have completed 200,000 houses, which means at that point we will have housed 1 million people.
Hmm. Let me turn here to Jeff Ford in our studio. How did you become involved with Habitat for Humanity?
I attended seminary at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, and had the opportunity to meet former President Jimmy Carter there and hear him talk about his involvement in Habitat. Started putting work teams together through the church that I served at the time, the Wesley Foundation here at the University of Illinois. And then 5 years ago, resigned from that position, took family leave, and started volunteering with Habitat. And eventually that evolved into a part-time paid executive director position. And so, as with Mr. Fuller, circumstantial.
Mm-hmm. Let me just, at this point, I probably should introduce again our guest, of folks who just might have tuned in. We're talking about Habitat for Humanity. Here in the studio with me is Jeff Ford. He is executive director of Habitat for Humanity in Champaign and Piatt counties. And joining us by telephone, Millard Fuller. He is the founder and president of Habitat for Humanity International. Questions are certainly welcome. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. When you look at the kind of statistics, Mr. Fuller, 100,000 homes built, you're hoping in the next few years to do the same number. You're among the top 10 the organization, that is, among the top 10 home builders in the country. It's the largest nonprofit home builder. I guess one of the first questions that come to my mind is how it is you manage to do this, even with all the volunteer labor, how it is you manage to meet other costs associated with doing this.
Well, I think a big part of the formula is because of people like Jeff Ford, who is a man of ability, a person trained in theology, who understands the implications of the gospel, and who wants to make his life count for a larger purpose. And we have hundreds of thousands of such persons, even now several million people around the world who are committed to this idea. Jimmy Carter, Jeff mentioned Jimmy Carter. He's our most famous volunteer, along with his wife, Rosalind. They go out every year and dedicate themselves to working hard and building houses. They have inspired many, many additional people to get involved in this work. And it's a practical program that produces practical results, which people like. I've written 7 books. You mentioned that in the introduction. One of my books is The Theology of the Hammer. And The Theology of the Hammer simply states that true religion has to be more than singing and talking. And also, The Theology of the Hammer means that we do differ theologically. People who are listening to this broadcast are all over the map in terms of what they think about God and how they express their beliefs in God. But even though people are different in their theological or philosophical or political beliefs, we can rally around a hammer and use that hammer to build houses and demonstrate love in doing so and provide a modest but a good and solid house for a family that needs a decent place to live on terms they can afford to pay. Hmm. People like that.
I wonder, Ed, over time, as you've had the opportunity to talk with many people who've been involved in this project, whether how many people are truly motivated by their faith and how many people perhaps just think this is a good thing to do just on the face of it, and it's not necessarily the motivation is not necessarily religious.
It's overwhelmingly a religious motivation. I go every year with Jimmy Carter on these big projects that he does. This year we'll go to Korea in August and build 120 houses in 5 days. Last year we went to New York, built that 100,000th house. We had 10,000 volunteers, built 101 houses in Jacksonville, Florida. We had over 2,000 volunteers here locally in Sumter County, Georgia, that built 35 houses in a week. And I have done this on numerous occasions, just go from house to house and walk up to a total stranger and say, you know, my name is Millard Fuller, and I'm Susan, I'm Joe, I'm John, I'm John, and so forth. And you do have different motivations, but the overwhelming and recurrent motivation that comes from people time and time again is that they are there because of a religious motivation. Otherwise, why would they give up their vacation and work for no pay in the hot sun, sweaty, dirty, nasty, to build a house for a person they don't know? It's a religious motivation that is overwhelmingly the case with people who work with this ministry. It's not the only one, but it is overwhelmingly the predominant one.
Yeah. Do you find that's the case, Jeff, and the people that you've worked with here in Champaign Piatt County?
I think it's a predominant motivation here in Champaign County. It's a very diverse community here, of course, as you know, David, and we have people both of faith and people who just simply see the need and say, this is a right thing to do in the community. It's a just thing to do in the community. They may not share all the same religious convictions or so forth, but that notion of picking up that hammer and making a difference in their community is also very important.
Right. And, David, I think that's the beauty of Habitat for Humanity, that we do not exclude people. We include people. And those who come out of whatever motivation they might have, they are equally welcome. And it is this idea of service, of something that works. It's practical. It appeals across the spectrum, religiously and politically, that people like this idea. In fact, I've often, and I speak to audiences, in fact, I'll be in that area just in a few days, but you ask the question to any group, whether it's Protestant, Catholic, liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican, whatever, and you say, do you think that it's a good idea for all families to have, as a minimum, a simple, decent place to live? Everybody's going to put their hand up. They agree with that.
I wonder if, as things have gone along, there's any point at which you have looked at many other needs that people have and have thought about branching out and doing something in addition to home building? Has it been hard for you to say, well, this is our main mission, this is what we've done, this is what we know how to make this work?
Right.
And just to say, let's just, rather than thinking, well, are there some other things we could do, let's just stay with what we know how to do.
Right. Well, we do believe, you know, to use a common expression, to stick to our knitting, stick to what we do and do well. But it's more than building houses. That's the name of my newest book, More Than Houses. We really are about building community. About building relationships. There's a whole chapter in my book about building neighborhoods in the United States, and there's another chapter about building communities in other parts of the world. But what happens in the process of building community is that other people, other organizations, and other individuals see other needs, and they pick up those needs. For example, I was in Jacksonville, Florida just a couple of weeks ago, and down there in two separate affiliates, two different individuals have taken it upon themselves outside of Habitat for Humanity, but prompted by Habitat, to create funds so that children of Habitat families can go to college. They do that on their own, but they did it because they got involved with Habitat for Humanity. They got to know some of the families. They fell in love with some of the children, and they realized these low-income children probably wouldn't be able to go to college if they didn't have some help, and so they set up these funds. And those kinds of things happen all the time, not run under the banner of Habitat for Humanity, but Habitat prompted it and caused it to happen.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that there are probably a lot of things that are in. I'm here looking at Jeff. A lot of things that happen that are perhaps indirect results of the direct kind of work that Habitat does.
I had opportunity recently to attend the National Executive Directors Conference of Habitat. And we were privileged to hear a young man speak there who's leading Habitat in Ireland, and he talked about how they were using the whole process of rebuilding homes and neighborhoods to really address the conflict between Protestant and Catholic groups.
Right.
Recently, perhaps you can help me, Millard. I've forgotten the name of the affiliate, but there was an affiliate honored at the National Executive Directors Conference that had put together quite a program to deal with race relation issues and bringing different groups together to build the home.
We've had a lot of that, and thanks for bringing that up, Jeff. Peter Farquharson is the director of the affiliate in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and he's a Presbyterian, and his construction foreman is a former member of the IRA. And they love each other, and they work harmoniously together, mm-hmm. getting Catholics and Protestants. And Selma, Alabama is a city well known for racial division. And recently we had a project where 45 churches, black and white, worked together to build 20 houses in the city of Selma, Alabama. And that is a big aspect of Habitat for Humanity, trying to be a reconciling force. And I might comment, I might say, Jeff mentioned Jimmy Carter, and I did too, about his extensive involvement in Habitat. I've heard him say on numerous occasions that in his opinion, the greatest discrimination in the world today is the discrimination of the rich against the poor. And Habitat helps people of wealth to come face-to-face with poverty and get to know people by name, and it helps to break down the barriers that there are between wealthy people and really poor people. And I think Habitat serves as a vehicle to bring those two segments of our population together in a very significant way, too.
Mm. Certainly, the organization has gotten a great deal of publicity as a result of the involvement of Mr. Carter. I wonder, in fact, whether you think that the organization would be as well known as it is if Mr. Carter had not been involved.
Oh, absolutely. His involvement has been incredible. Jeff learned about Habitat from President Carter, and he's one of hundreds of thousands, if not millions. So without question, his involvement has been incredibly significant and profoundly appreciated by me, by Jeff, and by so many across the country who know about that. But I might say that others have become very active too. Jack Kemp, former HUD secretary, former vice presidential candidate, is a member of the Habitat for Humanity International Board. He serves as chairman of the More Than Houses campaign that's raising the additional money to build the next 100,000 houses in 5 years. So Jack is another person who is very much devoted to this cause and giving of himself. But President Carter still stands head and shoulders above everybody else in terms of his commitment to it and what he's done. And I think the reason people appreciate him so much is he's so authentic. He doesn't just come out to the work site and pose for pictures and leave. This man comes out at 7:30 in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning, and after everybody's gone, he's still working. I mean, he really works hard, and he's an inspiration to everybody who knows about him and about what he's done for this this ministry.
Mm-hmm. We were talking a little bit earlier about the kinds of things that happen above and beyond the fact that a house is built and people get that house there. And I guess it's my understanding that once the house is built and you give the person the key, you don't just say, see ya, good luck, that there continues to be a continuing kind of relationship between Habitat and that person.
That's absolutely true. Because typically a family that has a housing problem has other problems. In fact, often the other problems cause the housing problem. And we want these families to succeed. So we don't move them in to their new homes and say good luck. We move them in. There are training programs. There are orientation sessions. And then after they move in, we have family nurturing. It takes a different form in different affiliates. Jeff might want to comment what they do there locally. But there are nurturing committees or there are mentors. They use different terminology. But that family knows that they've got a friend in Habitat for Humanity, and that friend or friends stay with them and work with them so that they can succeed as homeowners.
You want to add something to that, Jeff?
We have a local family support and selection committee, and we provide a monthly training session on everything from finance to lawn care to home maintenance. We have a mentor who's assigned to each family and stays with that family for as long as is practical. At some point, those relationships obviously don't continue for the 20 years of the mortgage, but we work very closely, and it's one of the more popular committees in our local affiliate. We have over 14 people who are volunteering with that particular group right now.
Hmm. Well, I know that we're almost at the point here where we're going to have to let Mr. Fuller go, and Jeff's going to stay with us, and he's going to talk some more. And also, we want to mention the fact that Millard Fuller, who is the founder of Habitat, will be in the area here over the next few days. He'll be in Champaign and Peoria and in Danville, and we'll give the specific information you hear about the local visit in a minute. But before we let you go, Mr. Fuller, I just wanted to give you the opportunity to have some sort of last word, anything that you'd like to mention.
Well, yeah, my last word is that I'm looking forward to being there, looking forward to being with Jeff and all of his dedicated coworkers. I'm proud of their work. And feel privileged that I'll be able to come. I'll be flying later today to Minneapolis, St. Paul, to kick off a big fundraising campaign for that affiliate, and then we'll go to Peoria and Danville on this trip that will bring me to you folks. But I feel privileged to be a part of this work, and I feel blessed to get to travel around and meet up with great people like Jeff and others who are so committed, because it's those folks who make this thing happen and make it work. Without the people who are out there working with the families and getting the lots and buying the materials and putting up the houses, this would only be a theory. But it is reality because of people like Jeff, and I'm proud of him and his coworkers, and I look forward to being there with you folks in just a few days.
Well, Mr. Fuller, I want to say thanks very much for giving us some of your time today. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Our guest here, one of our guests, Millard Fuller, he is the founder and president of Habitat for Humanity International. As we mentioned at the beginning of the program, Habitat for Humanity this fall celebrating its 25th anniversary. Over that time, 100,000 homes built in 79 countries. Among the top 10 home builders in the U.S., the largest nonprofit home builder, Habitat for Humanity. And also here in the studio with me is Jeff Ford. He's executive director of Habitat for Humanity for Champaign and Piatt County, and has been, now you folks have been doing what doing that here for 10 years now.
10 right? years. This dedication is our celebration of 10 years of existence in Champaign and Piatt counties.
Well, do you want to take a minute and talk about the – give the information for the Mr. Fuller's visit if people would like to have the opportunity to see him in person?
Sure. Over the last several months, it's been our privilege to work with Ola Williams and her family to build a home at 409 East Church Street in Champaign. And Sunday, we'll dedicate that home. That's Sunday, May 20th from 3 to 5 p.m., and we hope that folks can join us. It's an exciting family, a woman who's committed her life to her late years in her life to adopting children who have special needs. And it's just been a great project, and it's a great opportunity to dedicate ourselves to another 10 years.
So how many homes have you built in these 10 years?
This will be the 20th home. By the end of the summer, we will have built 25 homes, with 14 of those coming in the last 18 months. So we're very excited about the way in which the community has responded to the need and the opportunity to be sponsors and to help us build homes. For instance, we'll have a group of churches in St. Joe, a group of churches and businesses in Rantoul, Rotary Clubs here in Champaign, many, many churches and businesses out in Bement coming together to build homes in addition to some other special projects that we might talk about a little bit.
Sure. Well, and I also think here we'll have the opportunity to talk. We, in the first part of the program, we're talking a little bit about the concept, and in this part, maybe we can concentrate on the practical aspects of how it is actually you do it. And I also want to make sure that people who are listening know that you're welcome to ask questions if you'd like to call in here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Also, we have a toll-free line, and that means if it would be a long-distance call, you may use that number, and we'll pay for the call, 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. And again, our guest in this part of Focus, Jeff Ford, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity for Champaign and Piatt counties. I know that the cost of housing varies greatly from one place to the next, and the spread can be considerable, particularly because here we're talking about not just the United States but other places. Here in Champaign County, what's the average cost of the homes that you've been building?
We've been building homes for about $55,000 in cash and in-kind contributions. We have been selling those to low and very low-income families. Those are families making incomes that are in the teens and the low 20s. We've been selling those for $38,000 to $44,000. It's clearly a not-for-profit organization. What we're doing is we're building the home with as much volunteer help as we can, and then we're marketing it so that it's affordable for the individuals and the families that are in need. And part of the way that we make that affordable, as you and I know, interest is a big cost in purchasing a home. We provide a 20-year interest-free loan to the family, and so their monthly payment, including their taxes, including their insurance, including a savings account they put together for maintenance issues, is less than $400 a month. It's really a very difficult package to beat, and makes a huge difference for families who are making $16,000, $17,000, $18,000 a year.
Yeah. Well, now I know that what you do then is you can take the money that people, the mortgage payments that people are making, and then put that back into the operation again. But you had to have money to start. How did you get the money to build the first place?
Well, we've had tremendous support from the community. Individuals, churches, groups such as Rotary have come together and raised the funds for us to build homes. One of the very fortunate things about the way Habitat for Humanity is set up is that Habitat for Humanity International raises its own money for its own programs and its staff, and then tries to organize themselves such that they're supporting the local affiliates with additional funds that they raise. So Habitat for Humanity International itself has raised about $10,000 per house across the United States and gotten that money back to the local affiliates. Local affiliates then are very dependent on the generosity of the local community, and those funds stay in the local community, except for a tithe program that we participate in, which we link up with an affiliate in another country. Our affiliates are in Mexico, and we send 10% of the money to Mexico to build homes. And we've built 32 homes in Mexico with the homes that we've built here in Champaign County. Mm. So that's a very exciting part of it for us, because clearly there's significant needs here, and there are very significant needs in countries like the Philippines and Thailand and Mexico and much of Africa, and we want to be able to help there as well.
How do you select the people that will be you building the homes for?
Folks call us all the time wishing to apply for a home. We maintain a mailing list of those individuals, and then once a year or so, we contact all of them, invite them to an orientation session, walk them through the process, and help them self-evaluate as to whether they're eligible or not, and then provide them with applications. We select on the basis of need, and need is defined by two things. One, what's the condition of the home that they're living in? We had a woman apply who was living in a situation in which the landlord had simply come in and thrown a piece of plywood over a hole that was in the bathroom floor that her child had fallen through the day before. That's clearly not safe housing. We have a family who recently secured a home from us who'd had a fire in their trailer. We have a family whose house burnt completely down. Those are clearly physical needs. There's also a financial component to the need. If a family's housing costs are a significant percentage of their income, then we define that as need as well. And as you know, the News Gazette, for instance, ran an article last fall indicating that a family would have to make about $11 an hour in this community to afford the fair market value that HUD assigns to rental units. Well, there are a lot of families in this community that don't make $11 an hour, a lot of individuals. And so that's the need issue. Income, we're working with individuals and families who are making between 25 and 50% of median income. That makes us one of the lowest nonprofit, low-income housing providers in the community. Folks are making as little as about $10,000, and given enough people living in the family, they can be making up into the middle 20s. Not a lot of money, a very small amount. And finally, and the most important part is we're really seeking applications from individuals who recognize that this is a partnership between Habitat and them. This is not a handout. We don't pre-build the homes. We identify the individuals or the families first and then build the home with them. And so a couple would be expected to put in 500 hours of sweat equity, for instance. An individual purchasing a home would have 250 hours of sweat equity to put in on that home.
Mm-hmm. So that's I'm glad you got at that point. That would be the next thing that I was going to ask about, that you do expect the individuals who are buying the home also to work on building the place and doing what they can.
Absolutely. There are two reasons. Well, there are numerous reasons for that, but the two or three that I would want to mention is, first of all, we believe in the concept of pride of home ownership, and we think that that pride and knowledge of how to maintain that home is enhanced by those sweat equity hours. Also, Habitat would not exist without volunteers. We simply could not provide a home at the cost that we provide it without volunteers. I'm part-time. We have a new construction coordinator who's part-time. We have some students here and there every now and then who are very limited part-time. But everything else is done by volunteers. Individuals like Craig Chamberlain spend hundreds of hours a month working for us. Al Griggs, the treasurer, puts in huge amounts of time just keeping the finances straight. Without those volunteers, it doesn't work. If volunteers are spending that kind of time to work with an individual to build a home, and that individual's never on site, never at committee meetings, motivation goes downhill in a big hurry. Yeah. And we want this to be about more than houses. We want it to be about the relationships that we can develop there.
I'm sure that a lot of the people who come, who decide that they'd like to be involved in this, do not have all that much experience in carpentry, but that you must also have to have some people who really, when you come to do plumbing work or electrical work or masonry, or maybe even some, there are a number of aspects of the finished carpentry work, stuff like that. You really have to have people who know what they're doing. You have some people that actually do this for a living who give their time to work on these projects?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the really exciting stories over the last couple of years has been a project in Piatt County and then one here in Urbana. The Lutheran men from Emmanuel Lutheran Church up at Flatville recently built a home for us. They were all in the construction industry by profession. We only spent about $25,000 in cash for materials on that project. We had no labor cost whatsoever in that project. That's a huge contribution to that project and allowed us to build a home that we would not have been able to have done otherwise. The folks out in Monticello did something very similar. They raised over $50,000 in cash. Were able to get about $20,000 in in-kind contributions and had, you know, $20,000 of cash to take into their next home, which they're already building in Bement. So people with highly technical construction skills can make a huge, huge difference in the organization. But there are about 10 hours of planning and organizing and administrative efforts that go into every hour of site work. So folks like Nancy Payne, who's volunteering in the office about 12 to 15 hours a week, puts in a tremendous amount of time. Skilled computer technician, very skilled at organizing the office. Those kinds of skills make a difference as well.
Well, that certainly gets at this the question. I'm sure that there are probably some people who'd say, this sounds like a good thing. I would like to be involved, but I don't know much about hammer and saw work. It's not required. You need people to do other sorts of things. And even if there are people who really did want to get involved in a hands-on way, that it does not necessary. It's not necessary that you be an experienced builder to be involved in the effort.
No, you know, Michael Byrne does all of our legal work for us gratis. We need individuals who know and understand insurance, who are able to sit on our finance committee. We need individuals who can help us select lots and secure those. We need individuals who help write grants. We have individuals who work on publicity issues. If you can imagine running a small business with volunteers, we need folks with skills in just about every area that you can imagine. It's very exciting.
So I guess at this point I should say, so if there are people who would like to get involved, how can they get in touch with you?
I think the most direct way is to call the office at 355-6460 and just say you'd like to volunteer, and we'll send you out a skills survey, and we're going to have an orientation session coming up. We'll send you a little card inviting you to that, and you can get involved.
We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. We're talking about Habitat for Humanity, and the guest here in the studio, Jeff Ford, he's executive director of Habitat for Humanity for Champaign and Piatt Counties. This affiliate is celebrating this year its 10th anniversary. We mentioned back at the beginning of the program that the organization itself, Habitat for Humanity International, also this year celebrating its 25th anniversary, and this weekend, as they have their 10-year celebration and they dedicate home number 20, the guest who was with us for the beginning part of the show, Millard Fuller, the founder of Habitat, is going to be here. So at the end of the show, we can give the information again if people are interested. And, of course, again, questions are welcome if you'd like to talk with Jeff Ford, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. One of the statistics that really struck me, you know, is that the number of foreclosures, the number of people who ultimately can't make their payments, is very small. I guess that's not to say that people don't have difficulty now and then. There was one of the things that I read, there was a quote from Mr. Fuller saying that if you build 10 houses and you don't have any, those people don't have any problem making the payments at all, that you've built the houses for the wrong 10 people, because there will be difficulties. But I think that the number of foreclosures is only a little over 1%, I think, which is, I think, a pretty remarkable figure.
I think it's a very remarkable figure, and it's along with that is a resell of less than 2%. I think it's a real tribute to the work that volunteers are doing in terms of making this about more than the house. They're making it about helping that family improve the quality of their life, about relationships, about helping them locate in a community in which they feel safe and comfortable, where their friends and neighbors are. So much of the work that we do in Champaign-Urbana, for instance, is what we call fill-in, finding lots here or there, dilapidated homes, and building homes in those neighborhoods. And we give our families the opportunity, I keep saying families, individuals as well, we give our homeowners the opportunity to say, I would really prefer to live in Urbana, or I would really prefer to live in St. Joe, or I would really prefer to live in Champaign. And almost always that's where they've grown up. It's mm-hmm. where they want to be.
How has, over time, have you thought about, or have you done, in addition to building houses from the ground up, rehabbing existing houses? Or is there some reason that it seems to actually make more sense to start completely new?
There are many affiliates that rehab homes. Some affiliates, because of land values, only rehab homes. We have not done that for the last few years, and I don't imagine that we'll do that in the next few, in that the Urban League has just developed a program where they're going to be doing quite a bit of that over the next year. And what we want to be about in this community is cooperating with the other organizations in town, and each of us doing our little part that puts together a total package for the community. And, you know, that there are many ways in which we want to look ahead, and one of those is to put together a cooperative effort among the area housing providers, and we think we can do that best by focusing on what we do best and working with the Urban League to do what they do best.
We have about 6-7 minutes left. We do have a caller here that I want to get in, so let's do that. In Chicago, line number 4. Hello.
Thank you. A focus for humanity and the habitat would be on energy these days, and I'm wondering if you had to reconstruct your points of view regarding insulation, conservation of energy resources, and who knows, maybe even prefab, and who knows, alternate materials other than the conventional hammer and nail. Have you been doing some experimentation with those areas?
One of the very exciting projects that we have going right now is a cooperative effort with the Building Research Council, the University of Illinois School of Architecture, yeah. Illinois Power, the first Presbyterian churches of both Champaign and Urbana and the state of Illinois, to design a home that's what we call green. That home would be designed so that its materials had a minimal impact on the environment, so that it produced a safe, sound environment for the family. We want to design the home so that we are using low-tech solutions to energy efficiency. So we have several models on the drawing board right now using a variety of materials from straw bale to stress core walls.
Really?
We're very excited about that project. We hope to make a formal announcement of that in July and begin construction in August. We're hoping to work with one of our local organizations to put together a 30-minute demonstrator, sort of a show featuring that program, so that it's not just one house, so that it becomes a model for both habitat and for other homeowners, both in this community and throughout the state.
I even saw all the time the Popular Mechanics magazine, which had some forms laid out, and they just poured some mixture with pumice and some other material and said, hey, we built this house for exterior shell for $60.
There are some very exciting alternatives out there. The thing that we have to make sure is that we build a product that a family who is on a very limited income can afford to maintain.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to do over the next few weeks. We'll be looking at some cost figures and energy saving figures and seeing what we might do to make a high quality product available that can really impact those utility bills.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. So that's, I'm sure, another very, very significant issue, significant, more significant all the time when you look at some of the energy costs that, excuse me, that we've been looking at the past couple of years, and I think everybody's expecting that it's not going to turn around anytime soon. That could take an enormous, just heat with the kind of heating costs we've seen, just heating the house in the winter, if it was not as efficient as you could make it, could take a huge chunk of your income every month.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that we do is we do not put air conditioning in our homes. But we do try to insulate them as tightly as we can. We try to have them sealed. We try to use all the conventional methods possible. This project is designed to go beyond those conventional methods. It's designed to say, okay, let's start from the very beginning with the design of the house, with the way we put in the foundation, with the way we build the walls, looking at alternative materials. And I think it's very exciting. Some of the models show a reduction of as much as 50% of energy costs over a given year. Well, that can be quite significant for a family making $15,000 a year.
We're coming down to the point where we have a couple of minutes left. We've talked about the fact that you're getting ready to dedicate the 20th home that you built. You've been around 10 years. What's the ahead here in the future for Habitat here in Champaign-Piatt counties?
I'm very excited about the next 10 years. We are expecting to finish building 6 homes this summer. It looks like we have 7 or 8 partners who are going to build with us next summer. We're hoping to put together a restore/warehouse that would allow us to recycle materials, again, both that comes from a concern about environmental issues. You know, we don't need to haul all this material off to the dumps every time we decide we are tired of it. But also from an income level, many affiliates are funding a couple of houses a year with their restores. We continue to hope to cooperate with other area nonprofit housing providers to really put together a package for the community that can make a difference not only for an individual family but for an entire neighborhood. And we've had great success over the last few years. In fact, the last 3 years we've built 14. Well, by the end of the summer, we will have built 14 of the 25 houses in the last 18 months. So we really are appreciative of the support that the community's put together to make a difference.
Well, at that point, we will stop with, again, one more mention of your 10-year celebration this weekend.
Yes, and that'll be at 409 East Church Street in Champaign. From 3 to 5 p.m. This coming Sunday. And we hope that you can be there and have a chance to hear the very entertaining and celebratory speech of Mr. Fuller.
All right. Well, thanks very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Our guest, Jeff Ford, he is Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity in Champaign and Piatt counties. And again, if you're interested in some more information about this organization or maybe you'd like to get involved, 355-6460 is the number to call.
Yes.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.